Who is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be troubled.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Bellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Yum. 866-485-9867 if you'd like to get in. 866-485-WUMP. We heard a little bit of Barrett Salee discussing the Tennessee coaching job. I was asked last night, more realistic possibility. John Gruden to Tennessee or Chip Kelly to Florida?
Now, that's an interesting quandary.
It's weird because if you remember, beginning of football season, Booger McFarland, who has to skip his visit today but will join us tomorrow, said that there's no way Chip would coach in the SEC. He then kind of opened that door a little bit about 2-3 weeks ago. Still said he doesn't think he wants to be in the SEC but knows he wants to coach again. People, I guess, assume that Florida is the right fit for Chip Kelly because of that's the kind of team they want, the kind of athletes he would have access to. I see that. I get that. But if one of the issues with Chip Kelly is recruiting and time being put in and things of that nature, Florida is not the beast that I think he should be attempting to tackle, because we've had multiple conversations with this through this offseason that maybe we should take a step back on Florida, in that this might not be that end-all, be-all, great dream job, elite, top five job in the country situation that a lot of us think it is or want it to be, based on expectations, based on culture, based on pressure, based on things of that nature. The uncontrollables, really. If you're a head coach, things that can still be tough if you're winning. And if that's the case, I'm not sure from a personality perspective that Chip Kelly's a good fit there, because his kind of personality feels a little bit similar, not exactly the same, to that of Jim McElwain. And it drove him crazy to the point that he decided to walk.
Let me hypothesize a couple of things for you. First of all, if it's groomers for John Gruden, what are the chip things called? I mean, like chip shots, chip thoughts?
Yeah, bag of chips.
Okay, so these are bag of chips. Let me hypothesize a couple of things. One, I'm not going to sit here and think that I think every AD makes what we would think is the right hire. And who makes the perfect sense fit? Because Jim McElwain clearly was not that for Florida. And we've seen it. Derek Dooley was not the good fit. Butch Jones was not the best fit for where they went.
By the way, and just because you're not the right fit doesn't mean that you can't be for a short amount of time. Because for a short amount of time, McElwain was the right guy.
Yeah, he was getting to the SEC championship. But they were still, again, after that first season, what did he lose? He lost 27-2 to... Florida State, then lost, I know, got beat bad by Alabama. And then
was
lost
that the one Bama put 50 on them, the first one?
Yeah, I think that was that one. And I think their bowl game, they lost by like 100, it felt like. So they lost their last three games by a bunch, and that combined, or individually, and then by a bunch combined, obviously. What's to say that Chip Kelly wouldn't just be the guy that Scott Strickland would want at the end of the day? Because it is what it is. No. When it comes down to it, when Scott Strickland's sitting down and there are rumors, there are bag of chips, there are chip shots out there, say that they may have already even sat down and met as recently as last week to just sort of talk. Who knows what about? Probably about football. And if Chip Kelly is, let's just say, not the right fit, doesn't he come off as that? I mean, Florida clearly is looking for offense. They're looking for someone who can pump that offense. So there's going to be probably no better hire from a PR standpoint of offense than Chip Kelly. But may I ask this? You talked about the recruiting, and I agree. That may be the biggest barrier between him being really successful at Florida and just being a guy who can compete for a year or two or maybe. Is there the possibility that the head coach be okay at recruiting, not really love recruiting, but can assemble a group and a team around him of great recruiters to where he doesn't have to be that great of a recruiter? He doesn't even have to be that good. I mean, he can maybe be a guy that comes in and closes the deal. He can be a guy that still does recruiting, but just isn't on the road as much. Is there the possibility? Because I don't know. I personally don't know how many people are committing to, let's say, you know, Nick Saban in Alabama versus, you know, Tosh Lapoy or something. So is there the possibility, do you think, at this level, that a guy could just assemble a bunch of recruiters and not be good or really care that much himself about it?
Not really, because it's funny. Somebody brought that up to me via Twitter the other day, and they're like, well, how much recruiting do you really think Nick Saban still does? And I thought to myself, well, I see these recruits sharing these screenshots of him Skyping them and them doing FaceTime and taking pictures in his office and hearing about him showing up at their school in a helicopter on the football field.
Hosting recruits and dancing, doing cha-cha slide and stuff with him,
I think Nick Saban does a lot of recruiting himself still. And I think if you are the head coach and it's your school and your program and you're running it, I think it has to be that way. I don't think that's something that you can push off to other guys. Now, do you still need other elite recruiters on your staff if you're going to build a championship program? Yeah, you do. I just don't think it can be a situation where, whereas Tommy Tuberville turned over the offense and the defense to coordinators, you don't just turn over recruiting to other guys.
No, he can still do the Skype and FaceTime and do some traveling, but he doesn't have to be, you know, as dogged of a traveler and helicopter or out there that, like a Nick Saban would be or a Kevin Sumlin would be. He could be a guy that does that just to a scaled down version. Now, it may not be completely scaled down. It may not just be like, hey, you guys recruit, I'll be here just a coach.
we'll be working on tempo over here in the indoor facility.
That's probably not going to work as well. But if he hates recruiting that much, and if he's not that good at it, I could see him saying, I want to give this the bulk of the responsibility of the traveling and the relationships to my coordinators, my coaches.
Well, think about this, though. What have I told you?
Doesn't mean it will work. I'm just curious.
What's the realization that I have told you multiple times that I've come to in the last probably 365 days, in the last calendar year, of what I believe it takes or is going to take for a coach to come in and build a championship program in this league? Repeatedly, I've told you that if you're going to hire a coach that's going to compete for championships, he better be able to do what?
Alignment, assignment, effort?
Put an elite staff together.
Oh, the staff, yeah.
Well. And I don't know if you can put together a staff of recruiters in this league with almost no ties to the league.
Do you think, though,
who's Chip Kelly got that's going to come join him that has recruited Florida, recruited South Florida, that knows the landscape, can go to Atlanta, can go to Pensacola? Who are those guys? And I understand, listen, paycheck, coaching at a school, it's no different to go take a job under Chip Kelly, even if you don't believe in what he's doing, than it is to go be an analyst in Alabama. It's a stepping stone. That is your way to either big checks or to go get the job that you want somewhere else. I understand that part of it.
That's kind of my thought. Like, does he have to have the great relationships with those coaches to get him on board, or could he just open up the checkbook?
Yeah, he could.
And just say, I'd like to talk to this guy from Texas.
But in order to put together what I would truly believe to be a great staff, I think you need staff continuity. And you're not getting staff continuity without relationships. And Chip doesn't have them in this league. It's just reality. He doesn't. And it's not to say that I don't think he could put together a staff that could win. But, you know, Muschamp at least got dudes there. You know, Ron Zook got dudes there. But it's going to take more than just getting guys. And, you know, that goes against what you're saying with, well, maybe he doesn't have to care about the recruiting.
No, I'm just curious if you think that would work.
You're still going to need to get the guys, but then you're going to need to coach them. I think that Florida needs somewhat of a hammer. Florida needs somewhat of a disciplinarian. Because I think that, this is just my opinion, but I think there is a football culture problem at Florida. I think that the kids get down there and they think they can get away with things and they think they can do things. They think they can get in fights. They think they can steal credit cards. They just sort of run the campus. And the biggest surprise to me was that, and I think Will did clean up the discipline to an extent. So you look at the factors of what it takes to win there. Will cleaned up the discipline. Will still got players. But Will couldn't generate the offense that it took to be able to go win there. And maybe part of the culture problem at Florida is this obsession with that style offense. Because what did Will want his team to be? Physical, hard-nosed, run the football. And maybe you're just not going to get those kind of guys there. Or maybe you got to do it in a different way, the way Urban did it. And if that's the case, that's fine. But I mean, I still think, and people don't want to believe this and don't really know this about him, but I still think Urban is kind of a tough guy, kind of a hard-nosed guy. Now, he's not what Will is, but, I mean, look at some of the characters, flawed characters, that Urban was able to point in the right direction for a long time to win games that once he got away from them, completely went off the deep end. And I think that says a lot about how he can manage a program. So, I mean, I just don't know. I don't feel like Chip Kelly is the right fit. I just don't. And that's just a personal opinion of mine. It's nothing against him. It's not saying that he can't win football games. I just don't think Chip Kelly is the right fit at Florida. I think they need a different type of guy. Scott Frost is that guy, in my opinion. And I understand that he doesn't have the big-time coaching experience and whatnot, but I mean, the guy was under Chip Kelly at Oregon, and the guy played at Nebraska, and he's won at Central Florida. So he's got some Power 5 experience in different places. He's got obvious recruiting ties in the state because he's won there, and he understands what it's like to be at some pretty traditional powerhouse programs.
You know, you mentioned Florida being used to that style of offense, and maybe that's they're getting used to it. In 2009, they were sixth in the country in yards per game. Since then, they haven't been better than 83rd.
Oh, it's insane.
I don't even know if they care the style of offense. They just want some offense.
Some offense.
Like, they went from 457.9 yards a game in 2009 to just over 330 yards this year so far.
Ugh.
That is a far fall from grace. I think what happens is, you know, you get the Steve Spurriers of the world, you get the Urban Meyers, who give you a whole bunch of offense, and you win a bunch of games. You're like, well, that's how we win games. And then Jim McElwain doesn't give you as much offense. You still win some games. You're like, okay, somehow we're still doing this. And then you stop winning games, and you get players suspended, and like, okay, we can't do this again.
Well, it starts with quarterback play. And Florida has a rich tradition of great quarterback play. And, I mean, think about guys Florida's had that really don't even get talked about that much, like a Rex Grossman. I mean, go look at Rex Grossman's collegiate numbers. They are silly. I mean, Rex Grossman was a finalist for the Heisman. And Danny Werfel won a Heisman. And Tim Tebow won a Heisman. I mean, they have had a long lineage of great quarterbacks and great quarterback play. And they haven't been able to find that. I mean, what, they've had like 18 starting quarterbacks since Tebow left? Just something absurd. And it is weird to ask the question of what would this be right now if Will Grier never got suspended? Because he has more passing touchdowns this year than Florida has had since he left, combined, all of them, everyone that's thrown a pass there.
It's a fair question. I mean, it's the guy that got kicked out of the program. So how different could this team be? Would Jim McElwain still be the head coach? I would say A, very different, and B, probably.
Yeah, I would too. Let's get to 10 After Tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
You can tweet in at Cube Show.
The thing that does give me pause is that they still would have had 10 players suspended to start the season, and basically for the entire season.
Tell me if this piques your interest, Arky Shea. Mashable, at Mashable, tweets 15 hours ago. The battle of the spaghetti burritos is not for weak stomachs. How to make a spaghetti burrito. I guess this is becoming a popular food item. I'll show you a photograph of one there.
So spaghetti inside a burrito. I'm going to be honest. This is not the transition I thought was going to happen right after our Florida talk.
In or out on spaghetti burrito?
I'd give it a shot. As long as it was spaghetti and meatballs. Meatballs are the best part of spaghetti.
I'm okay with that.
If it's just spaghetti, then I'm not interested.
Okay.
Because that's... It's like saying your favorite part of, you know, cake and ice cream is the spoon. Like, no. You get the cake and the ice cream. You get the spaghetti and the meatball.
Right.
Don't just take the... Don't do that.
USA Today Sports tweets, Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers has been placed in the concussion protocol.
Can I just say this concussion protocol sounds like a movie I would go to the theaters to watch? Like a summer action flick?
Like a Will Smith in the future?
I was thinking that, maybe a little Jason Bourne identity kind of thing going there.
Yeah.
Yeah, concussion protocol. In a world where brain damage was real. This tweet comes from Chris Crow. It says, as far as recruiter runs, Zook is a baller.
Yeah, no, he got elite talent in there.
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin says it best.
He is a baller.
Oh. You can't argue with that, really. I mean, Ron Zook he brought elite talent to Gainesville.
Arizona Jay says, win. Your mom will be the next head coach of Tennessee.
Whoa.
That seemed unnecessary. Really?
Arky, if we still had Tweet of the Day, I feel like this might be the winner.
As often as you say if we still have Tweet of the Day, it feels like we should bring back Tweet of the Day.
Ole Miss football. At Ole Miss FB, the official Ole Miss football account tweets, ESPN2 crew for Saturday, Mike Patrick, Paul Carcaterra, and former Rebel coach Tommy Tuberville. We heard from two of the three yesterday. Word is they're traveling to Oxford via Pine Box.
Oh, what? That is cold-blooded.
That's fantastic. From the school's account?
You say fantastic, but...
Making a play on Tuberville's famous quote saying that he wouldn't leave Oxford unless it was in a pine box.
To be fair, he did leave and not in a pine box. Like, that year. Rarely do you see a guy leave, like, almost immediately after he says that. It's like, you're going to have to take me out of Oxford in a pine box. By the way,
goodbye.
That's my 757 leaving right now.
Anthony Oliver tweets at Cube Show, I want Kiffin at Florida just to troll Tennessee.
Oh, listen, I love the troll jobs that can possibly happen. Lane Kiffin is the only head coach I would follow on Twitter. I don't do it yet. But he's the only one I would follow because he's constantly trolling everyone.
He is. Ray Sively tweets, every staff has that problem. There are guys who have more X and O acumen, and there are guys who are better recruiters.
We're trying to figure out an ideal situation. And by the way, listen, I know you say that Chip Kelly may not be the right best fit. He may not be. But eventually someone's going to hire him. If someone's going to get intrigued with that, maybe they're going to have to stretch maybe a little bit to get him. Saw a report yesterday that Chip Kelly, in fact, I think I have that in tweets. Let me go ahead and get that because that'll be easier to talk about. This tweet comes from Darren Heitner. Darren Heitner owns a law firm in Florida. He also created the Sports Agent blog. He writes with Forbes. tweets confirmed that Florida is looking at Chip Kelly as next head coach. Decision could be as soon as this week. Also heard that Florida was becoming very frustrated with Jimmy Sexton, who represents many other potential candidates. Chippers represented by David Dunn. Dun, dun, dun. Not that Dunn.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Chip, they may... Can you imagine hiring a head coach just despite the agent of the head coach you actually won? How weird would that be? Yo, Jimmy Sexton, tired of your games. We're going with the other guy.
Mike Persinger, at Mike Persinger, tweets, Cam on Auburn victory over Georgia, quote, it's nothing we didn't expect, War Eagle.
Well, he is 1-0 all time. Actually, 2-0 if you count being cleared by the NCAA like 7 minutes before the game and then playing.
The night before.
Okay, well... When you look at the history of the Earth, it's basically minutes. Michael Blackburn tweets, can we call them chip clips?
Oh, sure.
Chip rumors, Chip Kelly rumors called chip clips.
Jason Thomas tweets, there needs to be a free fish taco day.
Is he even listening to the show? I'm pretty sure he's not listening to the show.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk some Alabama-Mississippi State strategy, X's and O's, in our previous segment. We got derailed there with a little head coaching talk. We'll talk Bama State.
Our chip clips.
Hows and whys next right here on Cube Show. Arky!
The Miami Hurricanes are undefeated. But what's more undefeated is this song I found yesterday. Did you know that the Miami Hurricanes have a song for their turnover chain?
Oh, boy.
I think you guys should know that the turnover chain exists, right? Cole, you know what the turnover chain is, right? I don't know if it's ubiquitous yet. It's this big, giant U that's on a gold chain.
Everybody knows what
that the turnover everyone chain that commits.
Stop
that
it. Everyone knows what it is.
Helps force a turnover, gets to wear the turnover chain until the next time out on the field.
How about A-Rod walking out for game day with his collar popped and sunglasses on?
Well, he's full heel. That's a full heel move.
I was surprised at the amount of people that were saying, I love post-baseball A-Rod. Who knew he was such a fun, nice guy?
I don't know if he's a fun, nice guy just because of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a song for the actual chain. I don't know if you actually knew this. It's a real hip-hop song.
Is it better than our Tennessee songs that we get every other week?
Buy me a coach.
Has that guy not had a Butch Jones Is Gone song yet?
Not that guy yet. I don't know. I haven't looked for him, but I will look for him just for you.
All right. Turnover Chain has a song.
Yeah. We find all kinds of great audio for you in the show. We found you the Coach O Show and Evil Twin. We find for... God, I love that guy. We found you the Vol for Life guys who like to sing songs to buy me a coach. Like 98 feel. Like that guy. Plus, we have now found for you the anthem of the turnover chain by the Honorable Solo D. So I'm guessing that means he's a judge. Which, by the way, Aaron Judge.
There's only one judge in my life.
Aaron Judge, that's right. Happened when rookie
the
of the year.
The Honorable Solo D.
This song is called, well, I think you'll get you'll find out the title pretty soon.
Okay.
Wait for the beat to drop.
Turnover chain.
Okay, first of all, that was like 11 turnover chains. I'm into it. I'm 100% in so far. It's hot?
No, that was a lot.
It's hot. You mean it's hot?
Turnover chain 72 times in a row. I don't necessarily have to have that. I mean, I got it.
What do you mean?
Turnover chain.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Uh-huh.
Turnover chain.
What kind of chain?
Okay, yeah. Turnover chain.
Again. Repeat one more time.
Turnover chain. Turnover chain.
Right.
Turnover chain. Turnover chain.
Wow.
Turnover chain. Turnover chain. You see big homie get a fumble.
Oh, got the fumble.
Turnover chain. See big homie get the pickoff.
Pickoff.
He get a turnover chain.
Picked him off first base.
Turnover chain. Turnover chain.
Yes. We got it.
Turnover chain.
We know.
Turnover chain.
I heard it.
We're 30 seconds in. It's the greatest song I've heard ever on the show.
Shut your mouth.
It's the greatest song. 30 seconds in, 17 turnover chains.
I think it's about turnover chains. But
this is amazing.
Turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain. You see the whole crowd don't use us. We want that turnover chain. See the whole crowd going crazy. We want that turnover chain, turnover chain. Turnover chain is deeper than jewelry, deeper than blink.
It's deeper.
See, this is our thing, and you as the team is strictly for Kane.
To you.
Invented the swag, you ran it and brag, but we want it back.
Let me get that.
But you can keep the old one, cause we keep something new in the bag. All of these players is hungry, don't come in here thinking it's funny. We aiming for something, rocking the chains when it's sunny. Even when rain in the summit, we ain't gonna be something. Hope your quarterback don't think it's sweet. The defense will make them take a seat. And if somebody strip the ball out, then somebody get a Cuban link. Now you know how it go with the fans though. We be going wild all in the stands though. If you're not with a team, you're not familiar. If you're throwing yous up, you're not familiar. Come on, get loose like a band, trombone. Throw through.
Okay, let me just say this. We have gone dangerously long without hearing what this song is about.
I agree. At least 11 seconds.
This is way too long without hearing what this song's about.
Five whoop, whoop. Up, my home, uh-huh. CWA. Tell them about yeah. All the canes going wild when we yelling this. Turnover chain, turnover chain.
There we go. We're back.
Here it is.
Turnover chain, uh-huh. Turnover chain.
Yep.
Turnover chain.
That.
Turnover chain.
Another one?
Turnover chain.
Yes.
Turnover chain.
Again.
Turnover chain.
Give it to me.
Turnover chain. Turnover
sure.
Chain.
What is it?
Chain.
Where?
Turn over chain.
Where what?
Turn over chain.
On what?
Turn over chain. You see big homie get the fumble.
Fumble.
He
getting
the turnover chain. See big homie get the pickoff.
The balls to rhyme fumble with pickoff. It is great.
Keep going.
See big homie get the fumble. He get the turnover chain. See big homie get the pickoff.
He get the turnover chain.
Turnover chain.
I think I already know the lyrics.
Turnover chain.
Turnover chain. I got it. I learned it.
This is my new panda. Turnover chain.
It's better than
turnover
panda.
Chain.
Turnover chain. Turnover chain. Turnover chain. Turnover chain. Turnover chain. You see the whole crowd don't use us.
They get the turnover chain.
See the whole crowd going crazy.
They get some turnover chains.
There is some really like loose rhyming happening in this.
There's no rhyming. This is just put some words together and say turnover chain 57 times in a row.
I don't know. What song? What do they say over and over again?
Turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain. You see big homie get the fumble, he get a turnover chain. See big homie get the pick up, he get a turnover chain. Turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain.
I love this song. This is my new ringtone. Anytime anybody calls me, it's going to be turnover chain.
Wow.
We're not going to go to, I don't want to go to Mike Griffin, because he doesn't know about the...
Turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain.
The turnover chain for Tennessee is apparently their coaches. By the way, if you fire a coach, does John Curry get a...
Turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain. You see
a big homie get a fumble, you get a turnover chain.
The name of the song is it Turnover Chain?
Turnover chain, turnover chain,
got it.
Turnover chain.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's about pastries. You get big home and get an apple.
This has to be the most brilliant thing that any head coach has done in the last 10 years.
How great is that? Well, that. I love song.
I mean,
it got a song.
Feinbaum's wearing this thing on SportsCenter Sunday morning. A-Rod's got it on in the suite at Hard Life.
Hard Rock.
Hard Knock Life Stadium.
It's the Hard Rock Life.
What did it used to be called?
Robbie James.
Joe Robbie Stadium. That's what I think it still should be called. I mean, what? This is on T-shirts? Fans are making their own cardboard turnover chains?
Wait, what's on T-shirts?
Chain. Turnover chain. Turnover
that too.
Chain.
Those two. I like that.
Turnover chain, turnover chain.
Michael Blackman says it sounds like he's saying pickle, not pickoff.
You see big homie get a fumble. He get a turnover chain. See big homie get a pickle.
I mean, what you
know?
Pickle.
By the way, big homie would get a pickle because that's food. But.
Well, you get a pickle, you get a turnover chain.
He get a turnover chain.
Yep.
Turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain, turnover chain.
That too.
Chain,
I got it. I heard you. We know.
The song's officially 2 minutes and 23 seconds, but let's be fair. It really should be 2 minutes and 23 seconds of...
Whoever is selling knockoff turnover chains is making a small fortune right now. And will for the next 2-3 weeks. And then it'll go away.
Turnover chain.
I need to see a story of who is responsible for the turnover chain after games. Like, does he take it home? Does he just wear it at home? They put it in a safe.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you take it home, though, when you wear it when you get home?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Quick question, Cole.
Be like, what are you wearing?
Let's say after.
I'm like, I'm big homie, got the fumble.
Turnover chain. Who are you?
I get the turnover chain.
Can't believe you got a pickle.
Skeet. All right, we'll get to a break. When we come back, Mike Griffith is probably not going to talk. Turnover chain.
Turnover chain. You see big homie get the fumble. He get a turnover chain. See big homie get the pick up. Turnover chain.
All right, welcome back in. Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yum. Let's talk some Tennessee football with Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. He joins us every Tuesday. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing well, Cole.
Your thoughts on the dismissal of Butch Jones?
It was going to happen. It was just a matter of when, and I think Curry felt like, as long as Tennessee was still being competitive in games, he probably would have let Butch coach out the regular season. But I thought those 33 unanswered points by Missouri were the kind of what he was saying. But he wasn't going to be retained after the season anyway. I'll be clear on that.
And it's odd because it was a competitive game at halftime. And it seems like things just got out of hand quickly there in the second half. What did you make of how different the second half was from the first half on Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, I'll give Tennessee credit. They came up with a couple gimmicks to stay in that game. I mean, Will McBride was a bit of a mystery. I think once Missouri had a chance to say, okay, here's what this kid is, here's what he does, here's what we need to do, they were able to make some adjustments at halftime. Because as you saw, Tennessee was just, they were thoroughly outmanned. I mean, they had, what, four freshmen on the offensive line the majority of the second half. And they couldn't run the ball effectively. I mean, John Kelly he did absolutely nothing. And, you know, we said going in that for Tennessee to have a chance in this game, John Kelly and Tennessee would have to run the ball. And in the first half, it was all Will McBride running the ball. And then once Missouri kind of had the chance to see what Tennessee was doing, flipping the offensive line and that sort of thing, they made the adjustments and the gig was up.
I asked Coach Jones at halftime about flip-flopping the offensive line, and if listeners don't understand what that entails, back in the day when you didn't have hurry-up, no-huddle offenses, you had strong side and weak side offensive line. So you didn't have left tackle, right tackle. You had, you know, quick tackle, strong tackle. And, you know, the strong side tackle and guard would go with the tight end or the strong side of the formation, and the weak side would go the other side. Tennessee hadn't done that in a really long time. And then all of a sudden they break it out at the beginning of this game. It took me a couple series to figure out what was going on, because I would see Trey Smith at right and left. So I'm thinking, what's happening? Coach Jones just basically said to me at halftime, you know how thin we are at the offensive line position. We need to afford ourselves every advantage possible. I don't know if this afforded you an advantage, Mike, by asking young offensive linemen who lack experience to go out and essentially learn two positions that they have to play in the game. What were your thoughts on that strategy by the Vols?
You know, I thought there was a lot of desperation, you know, but I mean, one of those tackles hadn't played competitive football since his sophomore year of high school. He played in the game last week against Southern Miss. That was it, Devontae Brooks. But, you know, Riley Locklear, his second career game, true freshman. I mean, there's just so many players that they were trying to cover up for, you know, trying to account for deficiencies. And, again, I mean, the injury situation, and people are probably going, gosh, didn't we talk about this last year? And the answer is yeah, but, I mean, they were down to their five scholarship offensive linemen again. Once Coleman Thomas went down, they only had five scholarship offensive linemen healthy. And, you know, the injuries – some really subpar play, I thought, for Tennessee at safety. I mean, gosh, Cole, I don't want to name names, but you saw the same things I did. You know, I thought that 64-yard run they gave up there in the second quarter, after Tennessee scored and made it 17-17, I thought we really might have a football game. But, you know, and then Missouri's just trying to run out the clock, and, you know, a safety just takes a junior high angle, and boom, the guy goes 64 yards, and Missouri goes up, you know, at halftime. And I think that run was kind of the one that ultimately that play was the backbreaker. Now, I'm not saying that's the play that got Butch Jones fired, but that was the backbreaker in the game. It gave Missouri momentum going into the half, and I think it was deflating for Tennessee. I think they've been resilient as long as they could, you know, the last few games, and I think that was just the one where the defense just said it just broke their back.
What did you make of the handling of the quarterback situation in this game?
Oh, I don't think Garantano could have gone. I mean, I think you'd have been putting him at risk for injury back there. I mean, Missouri gets after the passer. Tennessee's got a weak offensive line. You know, you got to go with a mobile quarterback that can run the read option. And even then, Will McBride took, what, six sacks. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was absolutely what they had to do. I don't know any other option there could have been.
Well, he was available. I was told before the game he was available.
Well, he was available in an emergency situation, but he couldn't run. And a quarterback that can't run against Missouri with that offensive line was not going to be effective. They weren't going to be effective sitting back there and throwing the football, not with Marquez Callaway out. Because while we're talking about injuries, I guess we'll get into this. You know, their top three receivers were out. You know, we know they lost Juwan Jennings at the start of the year. We know that Josh Smith, the senior receiver, got injured a few weeks ago with what looks like a season-ending ankle. And then Marquez Callaway is their most talented guy, and he sprained an ankle against Southern Miss, and he tried to go before the game, but I think you pointed it out to me. He was gimpy. So you're down to your second-team wide receivers. You're down to your last five offensive linemen, and your backup quarterback has got a bad ankle and doesn't have mobility. I mean, like I said, this is the worst Tennessee offense since that 2005 group went 5-6.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com joining the show. You mentioned some of the reasoning and the thought process from John Curry, but do you believe Butch Jones deserved to be fired?
Well, I don't. You know, who says what's fair and what's not fair and how many games a team should win? The reality is that once Butch lost to Kentucky, and I reported this, it was over. I mean, he needed to win out after that Alabama loss. Whether it's fair or not, whether it's right or not, and some people say, hell yeah, and some people say, you know, boy, that's crazy, you know. But I think most people were ready for Butch to go. And, you know, it wasn't just the records. I mean, back-to-back 9-4 seasons and top 25 finishes, I mean, what? There were entering this year, just to put things into perspective, entering this year there were three coaches in the SEC that had won 9 or more games in 2015 and 2016. And two of those three have been fired. So it's not it doesn't have to be fair. It's just where it's at. I mean, it's time for a change at Tennessee. You know, it's John Curry's program. It's the power boosters with their names on the buildings. They know what they want. They set their expectations. They don't have to be realistic. It's what Tennessee wants. And so it's the right thing to do because Tennessee says so. It's their program. And you know, they made a decision. John Curry stood up at the press conference Sunday night and said, Butch Jones isn't here because he didn't win enough. Simple as that. So they were happy with the APR. They were happy with the discipline. They were happy with the program management. They were happy with the NCAA compliance. But he didn't win enough. And in the SEC, you know, it's brutal. You got to win. You got to win, and you got to win a lot at a place like Tennessee.
How will you remember, or maybe how should Butch Jones's tenure be remembered on Rocky Top?
Well, you know, that's a tough question because right now, you know, with social media, I mean, this is a time, you know, it's the same thing happened after Philip Fulmer was fired. You know, it was like there was like a 2 or 3 year period where you weren't allowed to say anything good about the guy that just got fired. You know, same thing with Conzo Martin. There's a lot of people at Tennessee that vilify him, and I thought he did a really good job. You know, I think Butch took over a program that was in the worst disarray in its history. I mean, it's, you know, they, what, 2-14 against the SEC, on probation for 2 more years, sexual assault cases pending, national Title IX lawsuit. It wasn't a picnic to recruit to all that. And, you know, Butch was able to, you know, get Tennessee back on solid footing, you know, with those back-to-back top 25 seasons that hadn't been done in 10 years. Three straight bowl wins hadn't been done in 20 years. It wasn't enough. People, they wanted an SEC title. And truthfully, Cole, I think when Butch Jones really lost his job was the Vanderbilt game. Had Butch Jones beaten Vanderbilt, I was told by good authority, he was going to get a two-year extension had Tennessee beaten Vanderbilt and gone to the Sugar Bowl last year. I don't know if that would have guaranteed he'd still be the coach after this type of season, but a Sugar Bowl last year would have meant a lot for Tennessee. It would have been their first New Year's Six-level bowl or BCS-level bowl since the 1999 team. It's been that long since Tennessee's been to that elite of a bowl. And what's curious is you hear some former players, anybody that's played after 2001 at Tennessee shouldn't really say anything, because Tennessee hasn't won a better bowl than the Outback Bowl since after the 2001 season when they won the Citrus Bowl. So Tennessee's been down a long time, and Butch got them back to where they've been, you know, pre-BC or post-BCS level. So I think he could kind of end up being remembered kind of like maybe a David Shula guy, provided that Tennessee hits a home run with this next hire. And I just put out a story this morning that they've got their sights set on Jimbo Fisher. So that would be a bit of a steal for Tennessee if they were able to get Jimbo. Texas A&M's also interested in him.
So why I don't understand the former player not being able to say anything. I mean, I played at Auburn in last year was 2000. I shouldn't be able to speak about the Auburn program?
Oh, no, you can speak about them, but to say that the players shouldn't be proud of what they accomplished because they were a disappointment is kind of ridiculous. You know, I had a former player that actually lost an Outback Bowl. He only won one bowl, played on a 5-16. Tell me that Josh Dobbs shouldn't be proud that Tennessee went 9-4 with all those injuries last year. And I asked Josh Dobbs, he said, you know what, I am proud of what we did. I know where we came from. I know what these guys put into it. We feel good about what we did. But for other former players to tell the Butch Jones players that they were lesser than them, like I said, unless they played 2001 or before, Butch Jones did everything. He didn't win the East. Well, no, he didn't. But what is that really? You know, he didn't win the SEC title. You know, he won bowl games. I mean, you're cutting hairs. The bottom line is if Tennessee doesn't win SEC championships, then they're not meeting their goals, period.
Mike, great stuff as always. Really do appreciate the time, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Appreciate it, Cole.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com saying Jimbo Fisher is now a candidate and that Tennessee has their eyes set on Jimbo to maybe become their next head football coach.
I think Bud Elliott will be somebody interesting to talk about this, because I think I've seen him reporting before that not everyone's enamored completely with Jimbo Fisher, and there have been issues with Jimbo and the administration before.
I don't believe Jimbo is enamored with FSU either.
Would not be, if they both wanted to mutually part ways, not the worst thing in the world.
See if
but
I can
to
get,
Tennessee?
See if I can get Bud on the show, maybe tomorrow. We'll discuss that. Back with more Cube Show, James Spady and Ben Leard next hour.